chapter of Numbers, Moses is choosing some that were going to go into the land of Canaan and spy out the land. And I think you probably know this story, but he chooses two from every tribe. In verse 6, it says, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And in verse 8, it says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, later on, it tells us that, in verse 16, it tells us that Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Joshua, the name that we see him by mostly. His name means Savior. And, you know, Moses chose him as one of these ones that were to go to the land, and there was a reason for that. And again, you know the story, so I'm not going to read it all, but these 12 men, they go into, or these 24 men, they go into the land, and there's only 12 of them, weren't there? There was one from each tribe. They go into the land, and they see it all. Now, they all saw the same thing, but only two of them came back with a good report, and one of those was Joshua. The other was Caleb. And if we continue our study in Joshua, we're going to see Caleb again too. So Caleb's another interesting fellow. So we see Joshua, and so he's chosen here to go spy out the land. And of all those that went in to spy out the land, only Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. And because of that, God spared them. The rest of that generation was not spared. They fell in the wilderness, those 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And only of those of that generation, only Joshua and Caleb were spared to go into the land. And of course, as we're going to find out, Joshua is then chosen to lead the people into the land. So let's go to Numbers 27, the 27th chapter of Numbers, where God speaks. Numbers 27 and verse 18. Let's go down to 18. Numbers 27 and verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so the Lord tells Moses, this is a little bit of a side thought, I suppose, but I always appreciate reading these passages where it says, the Lord said unto Moses, he speaks to Moses. I always appreciate that God speaks to Moses. And he gives Moses some direction. And Moses often goes to the Lord. You don't have to read this, but up above, if you have chance sometime, go read the first part of this chapter, because there's a problem that comes to Moses, and Moses, he goes to the Lord, and the Lord speaks to Moses, and I appreciate that he does that. And so Moses didn't just randomly choose Joshua and say, well, I think he's the right guy. He's been the guy that I went to before, and so he's the right guy. No, God said, you choose Joshua. You bring Joshua and set him before the congregation and give him a charge. And so he says, put some of thine honor upon him. So he was giving him a place, preparing him for what was to come in that first chapter of Joshua. And then let's go to Deuteronomy as we come towards the end here of Moses' life. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I'm going to go, I don't know, down to verse 28 or somewhere in there. I really didn't want to read a lot of this, but I think I'm going to have to. I think we'll start in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 3. And so this is Moses speaking, and he says, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings, So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. And so, you know, Moses wanted to go into the land, but the Lord had told him he wasn't going to go into the land. He did get to see the land, by the way. The Lord took him into Mount Pisgah and showed him all of that. But he tells him, he says, charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Joshua needed encouragement because he was going to lead this great people. And I, one of the things that I've appreciated, and this kind of happens to go along with what I've been studying for our study in 1 Timothy, is how Paul encourages Timothy. You know, Timothy was a young man who was going to continue on after Paul was gone. And you read the two letters that Paul writes to Timothy, and you find just this great encouragement to a young man who was going to have a fairly sizable burden to take up. And the same here with Joshua. I see, you know, the Lord tells Moses to encourage Joshua and to strengthen him because he's going to need it. And what a great thing that is, that God brings into our lives sometimes those that encourage us. And, you know, every one of us needs this in one way or another, and at one time or another in our life, to be encouraged in some way. And so I'm appreciative that God is thoughtful about that. He thinks about the fact that we need encouragement. And I personally have had many different ones in my life that have encouraged me along the way. And I appreciate that they listened to the Lord's leading and were willing to encourage me. And so Moses, he encourages Joshua. I think we're going to go to Deuteronomy 31 and look at this. I think I'll just read from verse 1. I want to get down a little ways here, but these are kind of Moses' last words here as he prepares to finish his life here. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 31, And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And so again, encouraging words to Joshua right before the time which he is going to take over and lead Israel into the land. And so a young man, I assume back in Exodus 17, he was a young man. This is more than 40 years later now. So So I assume he was a young man back then. We don't know exactly how old he was in the 7th chapter or 17th chapter of Exodus, but nonetheless, now he is prepared, and the Lord has been bringing him along, using him for that battle, and then bringing him into a place where it's his turn to lead Israel. And every step of the way, and this is the key thing about Joshua, every step of the way, and I don't know how many times I've read this already now, be strong and of good courage. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not. Those words, again and again, reminded. And so this brings us back to something that we've talked about a lot recently, which is that how we need to be reminded. And often we really do need to be reminded, because we get along down the way a little bit, and we're going to see, you know, with Joshua, he, you know, that I can't even imagine. That was a daunting task, if you think about what he had before him, to lead all these people into the land and to subdue the land, to take over that land that God had promised them. From the human standpoint, if I'm just Joshua looking at my job, I'm thinking this is pretty overwhelming. And so continually he is reminded that God is with him. In other words, he's not doing this alone, and it's not on his strength, it's not in his ability, but rather God is with him, and he needs to lean on God. And that brings me back to my thought that I started with early, which was the simplicity of the gospel. Fear the Lord and obey his word. That's so simple. And, you know, sometimes we want to complicate things, but, you know, if we just learn to be like Moses and Joshua, to just come to the Lord, we need to be reminded, because the enemy will overwhelm us, and he will make things in front of us look overwhelming, to seem overwhelming. The very first thing they had to do is they had to get across the Jordan. And here's this river, and now we've got to get across this river. And so, you know, I guess we call in the Seabees. That's who we call in when we get to cross the river. We call in the Seabees, and they build us a bridge, right? Well, they didn't have any Seabees to build them a bridge. But those kinds of things that are before him, and every step of the way, God says, okay, here we are now. Now it's my turn. I'm doing this. And he opens the way. All they had to do was go. And, you know, the Lord brings us, and sometimes we want to build the bridge over the river, and the Lord says, hey, whoa, slow down a minute. I want to make a way for you to go. And we need to be sensitive to that and be reminded continuously that God is before us and with us, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to turn real quick to Hebrews. I didn't write it down, so it was just in my head earlier. 12th chapter. Is that what I'm looking for? I think it's the 12th chapter. See if I can get there. Somebody help me find the verse. It's not the 12th chapter, it's the 13th chapter. Yeah. Verse 13, chapter verse 5. So this is a reminder for us, because sometimes people say, well, that was the Old Testament. Okay, well, that's fine. So let's go to the New Testament then. Get our reminder there. See, it's actually all throughout the scripture, and God continually in different ways is reminding us of these things. He says here in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He reminds us that as we go through this life, we need to be reminded that God has said, and when God has said it, it is set. And he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's exactly what he said to Joshua. And all along the way, by the way, I didn't go back to this, but he actually said it to Abraham too. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your shield. You know, he every step of the way, he guides us and he gives us reminders about his presence. And, you know, those times when we find ourselves where it appears that the presence of God isn't there, that's our own fault because we left the presence of God. It was there, and we walked away from it. God, you know, we don't have to go to a certain place to find the presence of God. You know, when Moses was leading the children of Israel, on one occasion, he told the Lord, he said, if your presence doesn't go before us, we're not going anywhere. And that's really the way our lives should be. That should be our attitude. And that, you know, that's what Joshua needed to know. Don't move without the presence of the Lord. We want to get in front of him sometimes or get ahead of him. You know, often we pray and we say, Lord, go before and prepare the way. And then we go and try to make the way ourselves. And, you know, we need to be willing to lean on him. It's a very simple way that God is leading us. And the simplicity is that we just need to lean upon him. We just need to rest in him. And so this is what we're going to find as we go through and begin to study Joshua. Like I said, I don't really know if I'm going through the whole book or not, but we're going to go a little ways through this book anyway, because there's some very good lessons for us in this book. And one of the lessons in the first chapter is about God's promises, which I was reminded of as Georgia was singing. You know, God promised Israel this land. And then he comes back to Joshua here and he says, hey, I'm just reminding you, I'm giving you the land that I promised you. This is what I promised. And the other thing we're going to find here is, as we go through this, we'll find really God, the hand of God. And that is God saying, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm taking you. I'm leading you. I'm pushing people out of your way, if you will, to say it in a strange way, I guess. But that's what God did. He went before and he moved people out of the way when it needed to be done. So God is reminding every step of the way, hey, go with me. I'm always here. I'm not going to fail you. And there are some promises. And as God's people, we have promises as well. And we can cling to those promises. And we just read one of them in Hebrews. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great promise that is ours. And we need to cling to those promises because God's promises are unfailing. And you know, a lot of history was spent by God teaching us that he does what he promises, teaching us his faithfulness to his promises. And so that's one of the other things that we're going to get from this is to recognize and to understand that God is faithful to his promises. And so I'm going to probably quit here tonight because really my time is kind of running out and I don't really want to get into the chapter itself, but that's kind of an introduction into Joshua. And I really think we're going to have a lot of really good instruction as we go through this and see what God has to say.